Welcome back into the Golly Amen Podcast, episode 163. As always, super excited to have you joining us, whether it be Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. You can get this podcast just about anywhere. If you are somebody who enjoys the podcast, we would encourage you to subscribe, whether that be on YouTube or on Spotify. Leave us comments on Spotify. We do try to respond to those as often as we can.
And tell your friends. Tell everybody about it.
Yeah, that's how podcasts grow, is just if you really like the podcast, tell your friends about it. And so we're talking about a very important topic today. A couple weeks ago, we did an episode on gym etiquette. It was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. We try to do those lighthearted episodes often because we both enjoy them. Yep. This one is going to be a little bit less lighthearted. We're talking about, Joe, dealing with LGBTQ issues. And we're going to be talking about everything revolving around that. We have not devoted really hardly any episode time in the 162 other episodes that we've done to this, right, as just as an overall topic. And so we felt like it was time to get into some questions surrounding the LGBTQ movement, how to deal with it, just kind of in society. Obviously, it's, you know, very ever present in our society now. Kids that are 15, 16 years old probably don't really remember a time where it was kind of I really don't remember a time where it was kind of like taboo. Yeah. You know, and I was born at the very end of the 21st century. 20th century, sorry, at the very end of the 20th century. So yeah, obviously it's a big deal right now, so we want to talk about it today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been estimated, I think it's a year or two ago, they had a study over 30% of Gen Z identify as LGBTQ.
That seems high.
It seems really high. We're talking one in three, almost one in three identifying.
But obviously they got it from somewhere. That just seems really high.
I will say the Q being questioning, some people say queer. Q used to be questioning, and then I think they changed it to queer. And then it goes to two-spirit, like 2IA, if you ever see those things. Intersex.
Plus.
It was asexual. Plus yeah, the plus is for a bunch. And so, yeah, I think they continue to add and add and add. But the idea is a lot of young people are struggling with this, and I'm actually seeing this more where guys are struggling with some of the attraction. And so you think about this, like, just from a historical perspective, I think it was 1970 that the Gay Manifesto came out, and that was kind of laying the groundwork for, hey, how are we going to gain ground in the, you know, in the culture type of thing. And then they had, I want to say it was around 1980 where they got together, you know, some of the gay leaders got together and kind of set out, here's what we're going to do.
After the Ball, wasn't that a book that was kind of about that idea? Yeah. After the Ball, I think is what it was. Basically like, hey, this is how we're going to indoctrinate everybody into, because it was completely unacceptable.
Correct. Very taboo.
Yep. Yeah, in the 20th century.
And I mean, because you look at, like, it was kind of freak shows in San Francisco, weirdos, you know, lots of AIDS, the AIDS crisis and things like that. And so everybody was like, whoa, we don't want to do that. And so they went to work changing everybody's mindset. And it went from just trying to get it to the, hey, what people do in the privacy of their own homes, you know, that's their business. And then you get a lot of Christians, a lot of people buying into it almost from a libertarian type perspective of, can you really legislate these things? You know,
behind their own doors.
Exactly. Whatever they do. And then it became just tolerance, right? Acceptance. We just want to tolerate them, you know, type of thing. And so tolerance became a very big buzzword for them. And now we're at the point where it's like, then they want marriage, of course, and want to redefine marriage. So it's, what is it?
2003 was the first, Massachusetts was the first state to legalize same-sex marriage.
So yeah. I was, 9 years old when that took place? And the Obergefell, 2007 or 9? I think it was under Obama. So wasn't it 2009?
Which is the what now?
Sorry. That was the national one.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so that was a, you know, recognizing that as...
You had all the controversies, the baker, I think it was in Colorado, right?
Yeah,
the
Colorado baker.
Bake the cake. I mean, to be honest, Joe, lately, the last 10 years, five years, homosexuality really has not been a controversy. It's been transgenderism.
Transgenderism
correct. Has been the major controversy last
which
five
goes
years.
To show, like, mission accomplished for them.
Yeah.
Now we're even pushing it further and further, like, gays,
obviously, that's
not?
Fine.
Exactly. Right, yeah. Obviously, we accept that. Like, it was not that long ago in my lifetime that these things were legal or that these things were not accepted, were still taboo. And so you just can see that now they've controlled the narrative and it's just never stopped. Well, it's going to take godly young men to stop that. But we also understand that this is a struggle, especially when 30%, whether that's true or not, it is a struggle for a lot of people to the point that I don't think we can ignore this, you know, especially as godly young men.
So let's talk about, Joe, before we kind of get into how to deal with it, what about entertainment, and then some of these questions that we've got surrounding it. Let's talk about this idea of tolerance because, 10 years ago, that was the push, right?
Right.
That was the buzzword is just be tolerant. You know, again, kind of the privacy of the home. We don't need to get in their business. It's two consenting adults, right?
Right.
Like, tolerance. And where you really saw a lot of this come to light, and I know we're going to talk about entertainment later, but, like, the gay character in the TV show.
And there's only one.
There's only one, and probably kind of a minor character. It's usually really funny and kind of a very likable character.
Very sweet, you know.
Yeah, and so it just kind of slowly started being leaked into entertainment. And, yeah, Tolerance was the big push. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, obviously, like, from a biblical perspective, I think young people typically tend to be more tolerance-minded.
Yeah.
You don't hear that word much anymore, but kind of like, let people do their own thing. I'm not going to really care that much about it. Love is love, right? How do we as godly young men deal with this idea of tolerance? And really, like, how accepting should we be, I guess, is a question.
That is the question. You know, if we say, well, none of it, you know, okay, then we have an issue. You know, what if and I'm we don't have an issue with, yes, we don't tolerate that. It's a biblical.
All of it's sinful.
It's all sinful. And I think we can say that because you're going to hear like, well, love is love. And, you know, what's wrong with it? And so you hear a lot of young people that say that. And I think first we have to establish
it's Sodom wrong because God says it's wrong.
Correct. Sodom and Gomorrah was not about them being inhospitable. It was about them having perverted sexuality, and they're asking for these men to come out. Like, there's homosexuality involved there. And, you know, Romans 1 is specifically about homosexuality. They have forsaken the natural function type of thing. Like, that's a problem. So Romans 1 is very much against homosexuality. So anybody that tries to tell you that the Bible's not, come on now.
They don't know their Bible.
It's actually effeminate. It's like, yeah, that's even worse. That's saying that not only is the gay wrong. Well, that's, no. The gay is just for the, you know, there used to be slaves with the young boys. So it's more pedophilia. It's not about two consenting individuals. Like, no, it is against God's natural function, natural order. So yes, it's wrong.
Right. You're perverting God's design. And this is where you get into transgenderism.
Correct.
Why is transgenderism wrong? You don't really see that in the Bible. You are completely perverting something that God designed. Homosexuality, of course, especially, God designed a man and a woman to procreate in that manner. He didn't design two men. And obviously, the way you know that is because they can't reproduce, right? Transgenderism as well, he designed a man and he designed a woman. And for you to try to come in and just completely, like, and not completely, like, pretend, essentially, to by changing your hormones or changing body parts or whatever, oh, I'm going to change the design, that's wrong. Like, under no circumstances can anybody make an argument that that is an acceptable thing before God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from the sexual organs, like, you can just see one was designed to give, one was designed to receive. That's not what God, in homosexual lifestyles, that's not what God designed those things for. Yes, there's erogenous zones. There's things that will get you aroused. There's a bazillion things, I suppose, that could happen to that it would be wrong. Bestiality is wrong, even though there's a place that, you know what I mean? Like, so why is bestiality wrong? And this is the problem, is it is a slippery slope.
It is,
if you allow one, why would you not allow the rest? All the way down to pedophilia. And I think that is the end result is, everybody knows this from, you know, Milo Yiannopoulos he actually kind of got flamed for this, no pun intended on that, a gay man, and now he's got not gay anymore, is my understanding. And his whole thing, like, he was going on speaking tours, and he was a big deal, and then he came out and said, yes, it is a known thing that there are old gay men that will groom 14, 15, 16-year-old boys, take them off the streets, basically prostitute them, and make them kind of almost their little sexual helper type thing. And it's to protect them, and it's to help them and give them a father figure and things like that. This is a known thing in the gay community. And as soon as he came out with that, it was like, whoosh, book deal. You know, you're not going on tour. You're not speaking on these things, and like deplatformed basically.
Yeah.
And he went underground for a long time. He came back and is now saying, I'm not gay anymore. Like, sounds like he went to therapy and kind of figured out all of these issues. Mm. It's father wounds. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, when you look at this, it is a perverted lifestyle. So, we understand.
Just one more thing. It's dreadfully unhealthy, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The life expectancy of gay men, especially, are low 50s, I want to say.
I was going to say 40s, 50s.
Crazy low.
It's terrible. There are a lot of dangers to it. The diseases, the STDs, monogamy is a joke in that. They're saying that that's more the case, but, you know, the average gay, I think the average gay man is, or the man who practices homosexuality, I should say. I don't actually believe in gay men. I think there are people that practice homosexuality, and the average one is, I mean, I think they have like a dozen partners.
Quite
in life,
a few
plus,
partners.
Plus, plus. Yeah. I mean, I've worked with guys that 300 plus, you know, type of thing. Like, it's just a lot. And that's part of the lifestyle, is you are living through your means of sexuality because you're defining yourself by your sexuality. Yeah. I don't go, look, you know, I don't shake your hand as I'm Joe the heterosexual. It's like, just, you know,
kind of assumed.
Correct. And I don't view myself through the lens of my own sexuality, even though, yes, I'm a sexual being, I'm a heterosexual. The idea of there being a homosexual is like, no, you just do homosexual acts. And that's the difficulty of engaging people in the culture. So when we talk about tolerance, how accepting should we be? If we take the frame of reference of like, this is a birth thing, this is a gene, right? A genetic, then yeah, we'd have to be tolerant because, like, man, how much can people help it? You have to
get off. The problem is, it's not.
It's not. And there's never been a study to prove that it's actually genetic, that there's a gay gene or anything like that. And so the acceptance level can be, we can love these people. We can accept them as a, maybe as a friend or something, as somebody that we are working on, bringing them toward Christ, maybe bringing them out of it, whatever it may be. And we can love these people. But no, we do not tolerate the sinful lifestyle.
My thought on the gay gene thing, just if you're ever wanting just a very quick and easy way to rebut, like, oh, so it, because people will try to argue that it's genetic, they're born that way. People have been practicing homosexuality for thousands of years. If it truly was genetic, let's use our brains for just a second. They can't reproduce.
Correct. It would have died out.
They literally can't reproduce. And so that gene over the last several thousands of years would have died out. You don't need to look at any study, which, again, to Joe's point, there's studies that have shown it's not there. You can't map it on the human genome. It's not there. Just the very logical common sense portion of it would have died out is enough to debunk the most of the really smart people do not argue that. It's kind of the people who are on the outside of the argument. They're like, oh, well, they're born that way. Like, you clearly haven't done any research.
Right, right. Yeah. And so they will use that to kind of manipulate the discussion. So, again, when it comes to tolerance, love is love. You don't get to define love.
Yeah.
God gets to define what love is. And so we have to hold the standard to the point of saying, yes, homosexuality is wrong. So as a godly young man, that's the first thing that we would say here is make sure you do not come off of that standard and that foundation, because the moment that they get you, well, maybe, I don't know, that's where they get you. And that's where a lot of Christians have gone to, like, we can't call out sin and we can't say the hard things. We have to be able to say the hard things. Homosexuality is a sin. Struggling with it, being tempted by it, again, as I keep saying, we'll get to it, but we will. If you're tempted by it, it's not a sin as long as you're not acting on it or as long as you're not lusting in your mind. But there are people that are tempted by it, and we'll get to why I think that is and how to help in those. But we cannot accept a sin.
Let's talk about dealing with it for just a second. Sure. What I mean by that is, let's say you have somebody at work.
Because you will, statistically.
You will, yeah. Somebody at work, or let's say you got a friend, somebody in your friend group that comes out as gay, or you're just wondering, like, should I befriend this person, or sibling you've got on here? Like, I know I just kind of set you up on the last question, so I can go first here.
Sure,
about, like, kind of. I think the first thing, I'll say two things, Joe, and then I want to hear your thoughts. You don't have any right as a Christian who believes that homosexuality is wrong. You don't have any right to be unkind or denigrating towards those people.
I agree.
I'm in charge of 140 employees at work. If one of them comes out as gay, like, I do not, legally, of course, but, like, I would never mistreat that person you know, like, persecution standpoint, basically. Like, treat them differently, or, you know, treat them harsher, or same thing in a group of friends, say, at school. Like, if you've got some, like, you have no right to bully that person or anything like that based on that. So that's one side. The other side of it is you also have no business communicating that you condone that behavior.
Right.
And that can take a lot of forms, but I do think there is an element of you need to distance yourself, especially friend group. Sibling different, obviously work different. You're still going to work with them, but, like, focusing on the friend thing, they need to know you believe what they're doing is wrong. If there's any doubt in their mind that, oh, maybe he's okay with it, then I think that you're in the wrong somewhere. Like, you've gone off the path somehow. Maybe you've been too buddy-buddy with them. Maybe you've been, you know, it's not that big a deal, too tolerant, whatever it is. So those are the two sides I would say, Joe, is number one, you get to mistreat them. You don't get to treat them like less of a human being. But you also need to make sure that they know you do not condone their behavior.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Great point. Because we talk about this, I can't remember the name of the episode, or the number of the episode, because I'm terrible at that. But saying the hard things. You know, this is...
Ooh, that was within the first...
I was gonna say, it was way back.
10 episodes, way I want
to
say.
You
know,
you got to say the hard things. This is one of those. You may have to have that conversation with your friend that, man, you talk about hard. You talk about difficult. Like, that's going to be a really tough conversation to have, to say, man, I love you as a friend, and I've always appreciated our friendship, but I can't accept this. You know, I can't go along with this, and I do believe that that's it. The same way that if you saw a buddy who was just getting hammered every single night type of thing, like, I'd like to think that you as a friend would say... You might need to lay off the
episode
alcohol,
5.
You know? Was it episode 5?
January 31st, 2023.
My goodness. All the way back. Episode 5. Sorry. So go back, listen to that one. I'm sure there's probably things we'd add to that. We'll re-record some of
these. But to your point, you got to have that conversation.
You got to have a conversation and say it. And so, you know, what do you do about somebody at work? You're not buddies with them. You're certainly not looking to get pulled into HR and fired for it. you treat them as human beings. They are human beings. They're in sin. You know, there's so many sinful human beings that we're around.
Right.
Like, everybody's a sinner. And a lot of those people are probably not going to be Christian unless you're like a Chick-fil-A or something, you know. But,
yeah,
but like,
right.
You're probably going to be around a lot of non-Christians. This does rise to a different standard. I think Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 makes a pretty strong case. Sexual sin is different. Romans 1, sexual sin is different than some of the other ones. A lot of times, because it leads to some of the
that's the, you know, your body's table, 1 Corinthians 6:19, yeah.
Correct, and, you know, being joined to prostitute and things like that right after that. And so, you know, you get some of those issues that there is a, in my opinion, a different level of sexual sin, something like this. On the other hand, they're people. Of course, we treat them with dignity. We treat them with respect the same way I would expect godly men to treat everybody with respect. So if you're around somebody at work, again, you don't have to be buddy-buddy and like trip over yourself to make sure that they know that you're super tolerant. Treat them with dignity and respect the same way you would with anybody else, because there's going to be a guy there that's probably doing a whole lot of other stuff. You know, there's people have sleep with prostitutes and go to massage parlors way more than you think. And those guys are there as well. We treat them with dignity and respect. But if there comes a time where they're really pushing it on you, and so this is a question I throw back to you, you know, but if there comes a time where they're really pushing on you, yeah, I think you can stand up and say, this is my personal conviction. And I think, you know, I ground it in the Word of God. Maybe have a conversation back and forth, but you got to be wise as serpent, innocent as doves. To ask you this, though, I'm curious. What do you do about, because we're talking about homosexuality, but transgenderism. Mm. They ask you to use their new name, their pronouns, whatever it may be. This is a real issue, obviously, for people. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man, that's tough. So if it is me, obviously, I would want to check the HR policies on like what's going to potentially get me fired.
Right.
But I would do everything I could in my power to not go along with their delusion. Now, I certainly would not go do what some people do, which is go out of their way to, like, you know, hey, mister, you know, like, just to be a jerk. I wouldn't do that. I don't know what it's called, but, like, gender-neutral pronouns, basically. But, like, you know, try to – it's difficult, man. I've never been in that spot, and so I feel kind of like I'm spitballing here. But, like, I would not go out of my way to be rude or to, you know, insult or to, like, be a jerk about it. But I feel like I would also do everything I could to try to not use their preferred pronouns and to try to not use their preferred name. Again, with HR, probably if they're changing their name, you probably have to use by their name. I get that. But I don't know. What are your thoughts? Like, I tend to want to not go along with their delusion as much as I can.
I've heard people say that, you know, the name can change because you'll call people by nicknames. I think it's a bit of a weak argument.
Right.
I get it. You know, I get it that the name. So I'll
you can you can legally change your name.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. You know, and if they want to go by, they used to be Christine and now they're Chris or whatever. Like, okay, you know, we can use the name. That's about as far, or like you said, maybe the impersonal pronouns of hey, they, or whatever. And so you're using kind of those. We've gotten to the point that I think under Trump's presidency, there's a lot less wokeness where you're going to get fired for all of these things. But there are certain companies. You just got to be aware. And so again, wise as serpent, innocent as doves. Know the HR policy. The other thing is, if they know that you're a genuinely kind guy, you're not going out of your way, I feel like people are willing to look past some of the, you accidentally dead name them or whatever they call it, you know. You're not trying to be mean. They'll look past it,
though.
You've
built up some equity at that
Correct.
Point.
Yeah. That you are a genuinely good team player, you know, at your company. And you will shake hands with them and you'll say, hey, when you walk in. And you're a nice guy who's just trying to show the love of Christ. The love of Christ doesn't mean we accept everything, but it does mean, like, there are certain contexts. If it's a sibling, though, I think that changes. If it's a friend, I think that changes.
Oh, for sure.
You know, when there's HR policy involved, you're not looking to, you know.
No. Yeah.
Like, it's not, again, you're not looking to be a jerk, but I think you can stand up more and go, I'm sorry, I'm not comfortable.
And this is where you can also take us, because one of the questions I was going to ask you was, should you try to talk to him about it? Should you try to, like, convert them, like, get them over to your way of thinking? At work, I really don't think so.
I don't think work's the place.
Yeah, at work, in fact, unless they ask me my thoughts, I'm keeping them to myself. Sibling, friend, you can be a whole lot more, you can dig a whole lot deeper on that and, you know, take them out to coffee or, all right, you know, let's talk about this. There's a lot, you know, the soil should be a little bit more ripe for that.
And what I would say is ask a lot of questions. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It's easy to come in guns blazing. Don't you know, boom, 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 all of these
Here's
verses,
all these scriptures.
And, right. And we throw it at them and it's like, okay, they're probably not looking too closely at those. And I've worked with some transgender people that they know their scriptures pretty well, you know, and they're willing to go back and forth on some of those things. And they're great about it, you know, in terms of, they view scripture differently than I do, but they're willing to have that conversation. But the key to opening somebody like that up and really having the relationship is asking questions. Okay, tell me about this. How did you come to this? You know, what are your understandings of this? If you show that you care, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If you show that you care and you're genuinely interested and you're not interested to the point of like, well, let me tell you why you're wrong. You're interested to like, okay, let me work through, because I do have some questions. I'm not trying to be mean. But why would you, you know, isn't that stereotypical? So like some of them will be like, well, I just knew I used to play with trucks when I was a little girl. You know, and I was like, okay, but if we're going to go off of gender kind of being a construct, you know, of can young girls play with male masculine toys and vice versa and not have the switch? Well, yeah. Okay. So what really
That's
was
not
the,
really it,
correct?
Right.
What really was? And so you push back a little bit on that, see where they're at. Sometimes I've been shut down by folks that I've asked that question with. I've had really good dialogues with other ones. And so I've worked with transgender. When we talk about dealing with it, man, stand your ground on what you believe in, but be as kind as you possibly can. And again, ask a lot of questions. Be very open to where they're coming from. A lot of times you just need a friend. The only other thing we have on the dealing with it is navigating the claims of transphobic, homophobic, whatever it may be, where you're bigoted. Be very careful.
Where people call you that. You're
correct.
Saying,
yeah, you're homophobic because you don't accept my homosexuality, whatever it may be. First off, that's just a stupid term. It's just really, really stupid. Like, I'm not afraid of you.
I was say phobic. Doesn't that mean like you're scared to death?
Yes, exactly. Like hydrophobic means I'm scared of water. I'm not scared of trans people. I'm not scared of gay people. But it's semantics, I suppose. But the key is, you know, when you're being called that, like, go and try to. And Jesus would even say this in Matthew 5. Go and make friends. If your brother's taking you to court, get on it. Go meet him on the road and go make friends with him. And there's a level of like you're being taken to HR from the homophobic. Let's talk about this. You know, why do you think I'm homophobic? I believe that, yes, it is wrong biblically. I don't hate you. If it's going to go down, let them know where you stand, but also let them know I don't hate you. I love you as a fellow human being. I just don't agree with your lifestyle. I don't think you agree with my lifestyle. I go to church every week. You know, right. I'm a godly young man. You probably don't agree with my lifestyle. You have every right to believe that, right? So I think you can push back a little bit.
Sure,
this is becoming less common in this culture of the claims of homophobia where it's like really going to destroy your life. But man, why is a serpent in its endeavor? Sorry to keep banging that drum, but I mean, we got to go back to it. But anyway, you had brought this up, Will, so I want to set you up on this one. Like,
just
you brought
one thought though.
Yeah, go for
it. Sorry, and then you can set me up on the homophobia thing. My policy is just don't care what people call you. Like,
right? Yeah. Do not let that.
Do not
throw you
care
off.
What names people call you. Like, if you're confident in what you believe and you know it's biblically right, who cares what people call you? Like, as Joe said, the term is not even correct.
Right.
Like, as far as the literal definition of it, definitionally speaking, it's not correct. So I say that a lot. Like, don't let other people bully you out of a position just because they're name calling you or something. So sorry, I just wanted to say that.
Such a great point, and I should have said that right off the top. Like, you're racist, you're homophobic, you're transphobic, like, you're bigoted, you're misogynistic, you're... I don't care. You know, call me whatever you want to call me. Like, are the facts the facts or are they not? And so don't pull off your position. Yeah. That's a great point.
Go ahead.
But Will, you had mentioned entertainment earlier.
Yeah.
And this being a big thing, I mean, I can think of certain ones, Seinfeld and you know, other shows that would feature maybe a gay character or...
The Office.
You know, The Office, obviously. Rec, yeah. Yeah, with Oscar and Parks and Rec. And there's a lot of them. And even as you look back...
Does Parks and Rec have... I can't even think of them. I'm sure they probably do. Sorry, not to get us off on that.
No, actually, they may not. They mean
Parks and Rec is fine to watch. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Parks and Rec is good. It's one of the only ones. I was trying to think through of all the
characters. But yes.
The whole point is, yes, there's a trope in Hollywood and in entertainment. How do we navigate that? Like, what are some best practices for, okay, Lil Nas X comes out as gay. Mm. Billie Eilish is, you know, in Chapel Roan. Disgustingly.
Sam Smith.
Yeah. Homosexual music. Sam Smith. Yeah, another
Troy, one. Troy Sivan.
Troy Sivan. Yeah. Yeah. Man, there's actually a lot more that are coming out with that. What do we do with that?
This is very delicate. This is one of those that everybody's going to have different thoughts. Somebody watching this might be like, I cannot believe that he said that in either direction here. The first thing that I'll say is, let's start with like movies and shows or something. If it's a pretty central theme of the movie or show, you don't really have any business watching it. There are obviously, there's literally like a gay and lesbian like genre on Netflix that you can go. Yep. Like, obviously, we need to be staying far away from that. Shows as well. Like, if it's a very central part of the story, I don't know why you'd even want to watch it personally as a godly young man.
Right. Call Me By Your Name or whatever won an Oscar. You know, Timothy Chalamet movie like a few years back. The whole thing
Broke
is just back about
Mountain
home.
Or
Broke Back Mountain.
Broke
Back Mountain was all the way back. Yeah. Like, they're known for that and they're winning Oscars for that. And people, Dallas Buyers Club was about, you know, transgender and homosexuals and such.
So that's, I feel like, is a given. Where it gets very cloudy is like The Office, for instance,
right,
has one character, fairly minor character. So like, is it fine to watch The Office, right? Or I'm sure there's other movies and shows where it's like they're in there, but it's kind of, you know, detached from the main storyline. I'm going to be honest. I feel like that is a bit of a judgment call. I do fully understand why people are like, hey, if there's any gay character, like, don't just completely say, like, I would support that. I'm good with that. But I also don't know that, you know, if you tell me you've watched The Office, like, I'm certainly not going to condemn you, you know, or anything like that. And so the music one is different to me because, like, If their music is about that, stay away. It's just not that hard. Lil Nas X, Sam Smith, like, no thank you. If they're, you know, Elton John, for instance, that's an interesting one. I know
I love Elton John.
I have liked Elton John's music in the past. I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, if it's a central part of the reason I can listen to that and not, I don't listen to Elton John, but like, if you knew your plumber was gay, would you say, give me a different plumber? You know, probably not, right? The music thing, again, if that is a active part of their music, I would probably say stay away. Right. If it's like one of those, like, you wouldn't really even know they're gay unless somebody else told you or you had to look it up, like, a little different there, in my opinion. And again, this is super delicate for anybody that's like completely, you know, complete teetotaler abstinence on anything like that, entertainment related. I get it. You know, I totally would support that. But I just think it gets kind of delicate, especially if they don't make it any kind of central part of the service that they are offering you.
Correct.
Which in the music world, like, is their music good? Do you like to listen to their music?
I think that's a great take. We always agree, I guess.
But, that's right.
You know, I should push back.
Your thoughts on that, yeah.
No, I mean, I think you hit it on the head, like, with the Elton John thing. If you just listen to it, you didn't actually look at Elton John. Like, the moment you look at him, you go, okay. If you Google Elton John, you'll know pretty quickly. But if you were just listening to his music, I don't think you'd actually pick up on the fact that he's gay. Like, you listen, I'm sure there's probably songs out there. And if you listen to it through the lens of a guy and a guy, you would know, I suppose. You know, like, if you knew Elton John was gay, you'd get that maybe he's singing that way. But even because Bernie Taupin wrote a lot of the lyrics, Bernie's not gay. And so a lot of the lyrics, if it is about a woman, is, or if it is, but
like,
about,
for instance,
partner,
in a lot of Billie Eilish's stuff, I don't listen to her, like, you can, it's very much talking about women and...
Chappell Roan and Billie Eilish just had a song on this last album there that apparently is... horrendous. I didn't listen to it, but it's horrendous. Talking about terrible, terrible, yes, lesbian things. And man, I cannot stand Billie Eilish to begin with, and so that was not a loss for me. Like, oh, I can't believe I can't listen to her new music. Like, I can't stand her to begin with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we got to be very on top of these things. The other thing about something like The Office is, as a kid, I don't think I'd let my kids watch it until you were old enough to understand the context of some of these things. No, you know, and you're old enough to understand that homosexuality is a sin. It is wrong. When you're old enough to understand that and kind of process through it, sure, there's some entertainment there. We see that Paul engaged with some of the writers, poets at the same time. Like, the poets of those days back then were the types that would have homosexual, you know, boys type, or they'd have homosexual relations with their slave boys type of thing. Like, yet he's quoting some of those. He's aware of this, and so he's in the culture. I'm not saying Paul is advocating for that, obviously.
Yeah, yes.
But yes, so from the entertainment, now the real question is, what are your thoughts on, you and I have talked about this on Think Deeper. I don't know if we talked about it here much. I think we did a little bit, but what do we do with boycotting? Because, take for instance, we may be fine with The Office, but like, Lightyear came out. Now I'm boycotting Disney. We both are,
sure,
you know, for obvious
they
reasons.
They had a male
but,
kiss or something.
Yeah, but they had a male kiss, and a lot of Christians will boycott for that reason. So when you have a gay character that shows up in The Office, they don't boycott that as much. But to me, I think
Beauty
it's different because it is kids.
Was another big one. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
Which it turned out, if I remember right, like, it was kind of a bunch of hoopla. Like, there wasn't much in there.
It was like a glance or a look, a longing look.
But
that
it was
like,
a
you could
huge
read into it, but...
news story.
Like, oh, yeah.
Enormous.
Should we boycott?
Generally, I've gone so back and forth on boycotts throughout my you know, young adult life. I do think for a kid's movie, if you're going to put that in there, I'm not going to watch it, personally. I'm going to boycott it, even if it's a 2 seconds, even if it's, you know, oh, this little thing. You just don't need to. It's wrong, so I'll pass. I can live without seeing Lightyear. I can live without seeing Beauty and the Beast or whatever the movie is. So, again, it's a gray area. You don't have to boycott. I've made the decision, and we don't give any money to Disney.
Same.
You know, it's and that does come with sacrifices, you know. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, but that's kind of my short answer, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm very
if
strong.
You do, if you don't boycott, I'm not going to kill you for it. Right. For little stuff like that. Again, if it's like it's Brokeback Mountain, you should probably be boycotting.
Right. Yeah. But a big reason we are boycotting Disney altogether is more and more of their stuff is pushing this agenda. And they got like transgender Cinderella or whatever.
It's
Disney
bad.
World. I mean,
yeah,
it's gotten
it's
bad. And it all hinges on LGBTQ. So yeah, we take this seriously. They're the ones with the Don't Say Gay bill, you know, and they backed big time the horrible legislation against it. So to me, I'm telling you, it's a tough world out there. So we want to make sure that we are sheltered from it. We want to make sure that we're paying attention to some of these things. We're sheltering our kids from it from a entertainment perspective. It opens us up into some interesting questions. And I do want to start with, how do you shelter your kids from this? Because I know that's kind of our last on the questions, but I want to leave some time for the other ones. As much time as we have, we're at 31 minutes. But
oh boy, okay.
I know this is kind of long. So But I also think these are really important questions.
Yeah, for sure.
How do we shelter... I've been asking, sorry, feeding you all the questions, but how do we shelter our kids from it? From becoming gay, but also from the tolerance of it. And I think it does start, I'll just give a very brief answer kick to you. I think it does start with the entertainment choices of what do we allow, and not just entertainment from the movies and from the music and podcasts and such, but we're talking like TikTok, Instagram reels, things like that. TikTok is a known LGBTQ hot ground or hotbed. Like it is intended to bring disciple that into public kids, consciousness and disciple kids into the LGBTQ movement. We know this. And so it's not like that's a shocker, but you'd be surprised how many kids are, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, just scrolling through. And what do you think they know? They know the algorithm. So they know they're going to push it in front of these young kids. So the best thing I would say from the very beginning, shelter your kids from it, is get them off of social media and get them and be very it's conscious of the media that you have.
So I'm going to start from the perspective of young kids because that's what we have right now. And what's tough about it is, so we really only have the TV on in our house if there's sports on, to be honest. Like, we don't really watch movies. Every now and then we'll do a family movie night, and my kids are young, so I don't love doing those. I don't like them watching screens, but we do them every now and then. But then sports are on, and obviously I'm fine with that. Well, then you get commercials that you kind of got to worry about, you know? And so from a very, very easy low-hanging fruit, don't let them watch commercials, pause the commercials or whatever until it's done and you can fast forward. But when they see something, my oldest is four and is incredibly inquisitive, incredibly observant, will pick up on everything. And so I know there's going to come a time when he's going to see, I mean, we had a gay couple, we have a gay couple in our neighborhood, walked down our sidewalk, we were outside hitting baseballs, and he just watched them, and I was like, please don't say anything, please don't say anything, please don't say anything. And he didn't. you know, like, say anything out loud where they could hear is kind of what I was referring to. Right. But
why are there two men walking down?
Yeah. Right. I think knowing how to handle that, and I think a lot of parents are going to be able to answer this better, but essentially, you know, they're living a lifestyle that's wrong. You know, I don't think you need to completely, your kids need to know what it is by the time they hit a certain age, I think.
Yeah.
Whatever that age is probably dependent upon the maturity of your kid, but they don't need to be 9 years old going, you know, basically having zero clue as to what it is. For the entertainment thing, Joe, I fully agree with you. Like, you need to do everything you can to keep that out of your home. Social media for sure. But even 9, 10, 11 year olds, like, vet the movies, vet the shows. Obviously, they shouldn't be really watching anything at 9, 10, 11 years old without you. But if they're going over to a friend's house, like, be maniacal about it. What are you guys going to be watching? What kind of influence do your kids' friends have with their phones and stuff? We've talked about all this before, but specifically in the realm of homosexuality, they need to know what, and LGBTQ in general, they need to know what it is, limited as they get older, I would say. Or limited as that when they're younger and kind of expanded knowledge as they grow older.
Pick up this book, Touchy Subjects. It is a very helpful, Craig Gross, David Dean. They tell the story of walking into a gay pride parade when their kid was four.
Oh, man.
Accidentally. I think they were like in San Francisco for vacation in San Francisco or something like that. And they turn a corner and it's like, oh, there's the gay pride parade. And of course, questions abound. You know, what is this all about? And it is about how do you handle those questions? How do you keep them, away from tech and porn and things like that?
Yeah.
Very good, practical, funny. David Dean, I think, is a Christian comedian. A funny book on how do you have these discussions surrounding gender, surrounding, you know, sexuality in general. And I do think you have to start at a young age really helping them understand marriage is between a man and a woman. It's really good to be a man. It's really good to be a woman. And helping them understand their God-given role in sexuality. Why God designed them the way that they designed them and why it's good to be a young man. It's interesting when mom and dad are really set in their roles, I think the kids naturally pick up on it.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm very proud to be a man, and my wife is very proud to be a woman, and our kids don't struggle at all with picking up different toys type of thing, and I know that's anecdotal, but still, like, my little girl loves dresses, loves tea parties, things like that. We didn't necessarily push that on her as much as it's great to be a female.
Jackson loves wrestling and playing sports.
Correct, and my boys we play hockey all the time, they want to throw football, they want to do all those things, and it's like, I wasn't pushing that on them. It is what naturally came about when we're okay in our roles, and so one of the best things you can do to shelter your kids is, like, be proud to be a man.
Yeah.
And let them know there are specific reasons God designed men. There are specific reasons God designed women. And if you can cast that vision to them, that's one of the best things you can do to keep them safe. But Will, as we come back around, what about those who are struggling with feelings of attraction? I think this is we don't want to just shortchange this. We are, you know, coming up on time. But this is something I'm running into a lot more in my counseling sessions is guys that are struggling with same-sex attraction. And I don't, you know, in no way is it like, oh, wow, I can't believe it. Like, no, this is just coming about a lot more. And there are guys that they don't want to engage in the homosexual lifestyle, but they also have feelings for men. And so what do you do? There may be godly young men that are watching it. Let me first say, it's not, you know, it's not good, but it's more common than you'd think. And so kind of to almost normalize it to some degree, not normalizing in a positive way, but just to say, like, you're not alone. If you are struggling with this, you're not alone. There are a lot of guys out there that are walking the walk, you know, strengthening their faith, godly young men that are doing the right thing, but they may have some of these attractions. And in that situation, I don't know if you have thoughts on it. I got some.
I'll defer to you, so you go first. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to understand, it's not wrong to be tempted, but we also need to know where the temptation's coming from. Mm. And to me, we can look at it as, oh, all the way back. I don't know. I think usually there's a few kind of key things in a kid's life. A lot of times there's a role for porn. I don't want to steal all the points because I want to give you some, but there's a role for porn that or the porn, like, place.
Yeah, that they get into it as a direct result of porn.
Yes, I think there are some, like I worked with a kid one time who thought he was gay. Like, where in the world? His mom was asking him, like, where is that? Do you want to sleep with men? And he's like, no. Well, why do you think you're gay? Because he was getting aroused when he saw gay porn. And it came across. And so he was thinking, oh, man, I must be gay because I got aroused by it. Porn is super normal stimuli. When you're in an aroused state, you're seeing, you know, sometimes we get confused internally. And so at a young age, that sets the arousal template to the point that's like, wow, we get aroused at this. A lot of times there's sexual abuse involved.
Yeah.
A lot of times there's almost a pattern specifically for homosexuals of an overbearing mom and a dad who's kind of aloof, a dad who's not present in the home very much. Either the dad is gone or he's emotionally checked out. So you're longing for male connection, and females are not safe because your mom's very overbearing and you struggle with her. And so there's just this real strong disconnect of, I so badly want love that my dad won't give me, and I can't run to females to get it because they're not safe. And so you end up turning toward other men, and you get eroticized a lot. And so that's something we deal with, is the eroticized connection of, you do want the connection. You want a father-like, you know, a father-like mentor or somebody to care about you. But especially if porn's involved, we can eroticize that connection. What that means is just we get aroused or we sexualize something that was never intended to be sexualized. Yeah. No, you're not sexually going after your dad or anything like that. This is not Freud or anything like that. It is to say, I desperately want a connection with somebody that loves me for me, that cares about me. And most of the time, especially if you're in this community, yeah, they're willing to offer that with the price of sex. And so you learn that sex and love go hand in hand. That's how I'm loved, is if I give sex. So what you have to ask yourself is, do I really want, as I think about this, do I really want sex with another human, with another man, as a godly young man? Or am I looking for what that provides, which is a feeling that I'm worthy, a feeling that I'm loved, a feeling that I'm, you know, feeling of connection and belonging,
which is
and things
far more
like that.
Emotional and mental than it is physical.
Correct. Yeah. And so we may try to find it in a man, but what we're really looking for is, man, we just want a father figure. We want somebody who loves us for us. I mean, there's a lot of ways we can work through that. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes therapy to work through some of those things. On the other hand, man, there is hope out of this. And when you find really positive connections, you may be scared of being close with other men because you eroticize it, because there's a sexual component to it and you don't want to sexualize your friends or sexualize guys at church. So sometimes you stay away from the very thing you're looking for. Finding a very strong man, like strong internally, emotionally safe man that has no leanings that way, he's got a wife and kids, and helping him learn how to love you and learn that you're worthy is one of the best things you can do. So that's a brief understanding of it. And if there's sexual abuse in the past, yeah, therapy would be a very good good option for you, specifically somebody who's specialized in trauma work.
Noah Guy. Yeah. Shameless plug here. It's also important, and I know we got to wrap up here. It's important also to note the role that social media and culture can play in this.
No doubt.
Specifically in a young man just kind of thinking he is, right? You kind of mentioned that a second ago with porn, for instance, but like, man, social media, and again, the culture can really push, like, this is a great thing. This is a cool thing. This is a something, you know, again, 30, 40 years ago, you were the pariah if you
correct.
Had these feelings.
You were the only one.
Now, you're celebrated. You are often taken into this kind of community. You know, it's a very communal thing. It's very, again, I guess celebrated is the best word I can use. And so it can kind of fool kids who really might just be questioning or might be a little confused. Oh, okay, well, I must be gay. You're just thinking that because of what social media and the culture is. And again, specifically depending on the way your algorithm or whatever, for TikTok or Instagram or whatever it is kind of cultivated for you. Yeah, that's feeding that essentially. Yep. And so I would just say, that's an instance of where you need to be very aware, if you think you're struggling with this, of what is feeding this. And if it's something as simple as, hopefully it's not porn, if it's something as simple as social media, cut it off. Like, delete right. all your accounts, go touch grass, as they say. Like, get outside, go find friends to like do things not on a screen that's not going to feed that. And so, again, I don't want to add on. Joe's way more equipped to talk about this than I am, but that's one point that I wanted to bring up is culture can feed regular fornication, heterosexual fornication as well. If your algorithm or you're watching all these shows that have all it in there, like, it can feed that as well. No different with homosexuality.
Well, look at these school shooters. How many of those went to Reddit and found all of the people that they wanted to be around? I mean, there's a crude thing that goes around on, the Reddit. Like, you can go to Reddit. If somebody wanted to, there's a crude version of it, but basically wanted to do something really stupid, then, you may look at it and all your friends is like, well, that's really stupid. And everybody would say, don't do that. If you go to Reddit, you go to online, and all of a sudden, everybody wants
go
to
go for it.
Yeah. Go for it. It's like, oh, wow, there's an entire community of people that want to do that really stupid thing. You go, wow, it's legitimate. Everybody wants to do this. Like, no, it's not legitimate. You just found all the weirdos in the world that go back, rewind the clock 20 years, just wasn't a thing. You would have never known that was a thing, and you would have come out of it in due time. Give it 3 months, and you would. But instead, because everything's so immediate, and because social media is there, and because the culture is in such a place where everything's accepted, now it's like, I just found my tribe. So somebody is, fat shamed. We can look at all the body positivity movement, and you can go find people online that are like, it's fine to be 600 pounds until you die at 30. That's not okay.
And have no quality of life.
Yeah. Correct. But everybody online, they love me. They appreciate me. That's a huge draw to the trans crowd. That's a huge draw to the homosexual crowd, is the feeling of acceptance that they finally get at a young age. So if you're struggling with it, find a trusted mentor. Find somebody that is can really help you. Go talk to them about it and be open and honest and say, I don't want this, but I do. I do want, it's a temptation for me, but I really don't want to have this temptation. Can you please help me? Whatever it may be. The only other thing I'll say on the transgenderism side of things before we wrap up, that is a lot more based, in my opinion, in identity. Yes, the sexual abuse sometimes can take place from that. It can be driven by trauma, but I do think identity issues are really at play of who am I? And you're getting down to the base level of, can I even tell whether I'm a man or a woman? So you need help on the identity work to say, who am I in Christ? Who am I as a human being? And what is my worth and value? And sometimes we get that really messed up. And so we're running to maybe sexuality to find worth and value, when in reality, it's not that. And we may look at it as, well, no, I've just always gone back this way. Like, sometimes, especially as a from a male to a female, a male moving to female, sometimes they want the love and the softness and the connection that they never got, and they become their own mom. Vice versa for a female to a man, sometimes they become their own protector. They become the man, the masculine figure that never actually protected them. So there's attachment issues galore, but a lot of times it's identity work and attachment issues from the transgenderism. Get yourself some help if that's the case. Again, you're not a bad person. You're not a bad human being. You're worthy of love. You're worthy of God's grace and God's love, but we got to make sure that we're moving toward him and not away from him. And we know that lifestyle moves us away from him. Yep. And so be very aware of some of these things. We didn't want to shortchange that. We know we've gone a little bit long, so appreciate you listening to this. You may not struggle with that at all. You may have some friends that struggle with it. Yeah. Point them to this podcast. Point them to resources, helpful resources, if you have any. If you got any parents that are struggling with, how do I talk to my kids about it? Touchy Subjects is a great book from, again, Craig Gross and David Dean.
This has been helpful. Appreciate Joe and his, again, expertise just in dealing with some of these the trauma issues and stuff. But yeah, if you have additional questions, let us know. If you've got other thoughts on this, we did go long on this episode, but it's an important one. And so, we're grateful that we got to cover it. Thank you, as always, for joining and listening. Subscribe, like, rate, review, all those things. It really does help. We don't just say that. It really does help the numbers. And the most important thing you can do, tell somebody about it. If you enjoy the podcast, let all your friends know about it, and let us know how we can improve it. If you have thoughts, again, let us know. But this has been episode 163 of the Godly Amen podcast. We will be back next week.